I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support for 20 Minute Tims is brought to you by Manscaped, who are the best in below the waist grooming. Manscaped offer precision engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped have just launched their fourth generation trimmer here on the table in front of me. That's right, you heard that right. The fourth generation, four iterations of this. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped, and we have an exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping on a Manscaped 4.0 and all the accessories you see on the table in front of me with the discount code TIMS, T-I-M-S, at manscaped.com. That's manscaped.com, discount code TIMS. Now, Stephen, Melly, what did you used to use, though, before Manscaped came along? Because, you know, it's 2021. You can't be walking about with a big old thatch.
No. Previously, I used to just try and singe it off with fire. So light a match and try and singe them off that way.
Like that?
Totally useless. It's all about the Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0 now. And did I mention it's waterproof? There's a little light on it so you can see all the little tiny
penises,
hairs.
Melly, yes. There's a light on it. Melly, you're not a large man by any manner of means.
It's wee, but it's mental.
What were you using before Manscaped came along?
Sunglasses and scissors. It was dodgy.
So look, jokes aside, get 20% off using the discount code TIMS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com with our super discount code TIMS. That's TIMS. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job. Manscaped. Welcome to this episode of 20 Minute Tims, the flagship podcast number 281. And I'm joined by my podcast pals, Martin Melly.
Yes.
And Stephen.
Good to be back in front of the cameras, lads. We had a bit of a boo-boo last week. We're in a different location, but it's good to be back in at home. It's a home fixture. We're back in the studio.
Are we going to say why we were on camera last week?
Let's just say someone.
Let's just say somebody forgot to bring the memory card with them. Look, nothing but positivity this week.
Oh, no.
Nothing but positivity on the podcast because Celtic are absolutely flying. Kyogo, Jota, Anthony Ralston. I don't even know where to begin, Melly. I suppose Ferencvaros is as good a place as any.
Yeah, it was a good result during the weekend. It's one of those ones where after the first game, Celtic dominated so much, but it's always that bit of Celtic away from home in Europe. And we try not to bunch Ange and this team in with previous teams because it is basically a brand new team.
It is one of the most ridiculous stats that you will ever hear often trotted out about Celtic. Oh, this is the 13th away game in Europe Celtic have won. You think, well, that spanned four managers at one point.
There's another one later on, actually, before we move away for that. There's another one about Dundee having beaten Celtic at home since 1988. And I'm like, well, some of these guys weren't they born? That's a bit unfair. It's left like that at them. Alan Ruff was in the Celtic team the last time Dundee beat Celtic at Dens Park.
But the game during the week was, because we always worry about that, oh, we've done so well at home, but go Celtic away from home in Europe is a totally different kettle of fish. But it wasn't. It was the same performance. It was probably just as dominant in the way we created chances, but we let in a couple of goals. But we look good, and we look like a good European team as well. And this is a wee bit easier for us because we've got that sort of barometer where we can judge Celtic on last season, that one game against Ferencvaros to these two games, and it's totally different. It's a totally different world.
Hey, and the only difference is no COVID this season. That's the only difference according to certain ex-managers. Stephen, it is great though. What a difference it makes watching your team, watching Celtic, especially in Europe. Because, that was a tough game. That was not going to be an easy tie ahead of time. Ferencvaros are a difficult team. Ange said it after the home leg. That was a difficult team we beat, and there's a bit of nervousness about how we approached that tie. But what I'm loving about Ange Celtic right now is, and a wee bit of contradiction here, because it was I not so long ago that was telling Ange, you know, you need to find a way to win these games, you can't just stick to your system. But now what we're doing is we are taking our game to these teams.
Not only that, it was actually a very controlled performance eventually as well. They played some amazing stuff in the second half, and far be it from the usual Celtic in Europe performance. Yes, there were a couple of goals conceded as well, but by and large it was very controlled. I never really felt under any threat until that second one went in and the old sort of trigger warning started to go off, and I thought, oh, that's a bit ominous. And I think they had another couple of decent chances towards the end, and I thought, oh, how awful would it be to have played like this and somehow draw? And the funny thing is I would have taken a draw before the game. Yeah, I've had you ask me. In fact, you did ask me actually when we were doing our big match build-up live on Patreon. We talked about the kind of various ramifications for the game, and I said, definitely take a draw. I would take a draw against Ferencvaros, a draw against Betis, and see what may against Bayer Leverkusen. I'm always forgetting who else is in this group for some reason, but to have won home and away against Ferencvaros, who are a decent team, albeit not top level, so I'm not going to get carried away, but to have done it fairly handily and with two really good performances represents some kind of progress to me.
I mean, I think Celtic might have set a target for those the remaining games. What do you think? 3 points, 4 points out the remaining games, went away and beat Ferencvaros there. We're well on our way.
We are, and we're so far ahead of where we were, and we've come in such a short space of time. It's night and day, really, compared to a couple of months ago, where we all sat here, and I think it was during the Jablonec ties, we said, look, it's Alkmaar next, we'd be as well writing that off. Yeah. Well, we got through that, we've got into this group, and when you look at this group, the two games against Ferencvaros, that's the one you should target, 6 points, but as we know with Celtic, it never works like that, and right now we're on course. Getting something against Leverkusen home and away was going to be difficult. But Real Betis away, the first game, you're not going to get in out of that because of where we were. But going into these games, getting the 6 points, and then looking forward to the final Betis game, thinking we could beat them, we could do well. And Celtic look like a team that can kind of compete with these teams in Europe. Compare that to last season, and it's absolutely tremendous.
I think these international breaks might have done Celtic a bit of good, giving Ange a bit of time with the players, because we're now starting to see players come into the team. I mean, you're looking at the lineup, and Stephen Welsh had to come in, Nir Bitton came in, and you're thinking to yourself, normally Nir Bitton in a Celtic team in a European game spells disaster. Sit here and joke about it almost every year, but these were kind of assured performances.
Bitton has actually been good the last couple of games. If you'd told me Bitton was going
quietly.
if you'd told me Bitton was going to come back in and play a part in the last couple of games, I would have been, I mean, not dreading it, but disappointed, because I think we've all seen what Bitton can do. But just on occasion, he manages to surprise you and just put in a decent performance. And you think, well, that's what people have been seeing in you for the last 10 years. Mm. It's just that
that's why you're here.
It's just so spread so thinly with Bitton these days that you often maybe underrate him. I don't know if anyone necessarily overrates him, but
people just rate him.
Yeah, basically, Bitton is rated. He's the most rated player in the entire world. But no, in fairness to him, he's actually been very good. I mean, there was a couple of times against Dundee, and we'll talk about that later, but he was like beating players and all that. He actually went on an amazing run and drew a foul in, skinned Charlie Adam as well. More on him to come as well.
It's just a sign to me that the players are now starting to buy in to what Ange's asking them to do, Melly, man. It's just,
I'm not quite sure if it's just starting to buy in. I think they've always bought in, but
go ahead and nitpick, it's fine.
Yeah, well, you spoke out of turn, so I'll correct it. I think the players have always had that, but we're starting to see the fruits of it now. We're starting to have options on the bench. Like a few weeks ago, if we had two players going out the team, we would be like, oh dear. Even going into the game during the week, I was like, the quality that drops out the Celtic team when Starfelt and Rogic, even though they're not the top players, you worry about the guys coming in, but they slotted in seamlessly because they know what they're doing, they know their roles, and it just looked great. Just before we move on right into the game, talking about the progress Celtic have made, see if we take it right back to the first competitive game under Ange.
Okay.
Celtic 1, Midtjylland 1. Mm. Between you, could you try and name the 14 players that started, that played in that game for Celtic?
No, even going to waste my time.
No.
Barkas,
Ralston, Greg Taylor. Well, he came on as a sub.
Did he? Right.
Bitton and Welsh. So it was a back five of Barkas, Ralston, Taylor, Welsh and Bitton. Dane Murray comes on. Sorrow started that one.
Oh, God, I forgot Sorrow.
And up front, Abada, Sinky signed an hour before or something, alongside Edouard and Christie. So Celtic, much changed team since then. Yeah. Albin Ayeti comes off the bench as well. So looking at where that team was to where Celtic are now, it's incredible.
You mentioned them there, Odson Edouard. I think it's fair we were all a bit panicky when Odson Edouard was leaving. We were worried, you know, the ability to replace a player who contributed so much, who was a really good Celtic player. There's no doubt about it.
Yep.
A real talent. Have we come close to replacing him with Furuhashi? Is he a better player than Odson Edouard?
Time will tell on that one. But right now, he fits Celtic so well and just, he's a joy to watch, whereas Odson Edouard was a joy to watch up until last season, and we've sort of got that a bit clearer in our minds than that. But watching Kyogo the now, he's brilliant. He's absolutely tremendous. It's going into the game during the week there against Ferencvaros. I think I mentioned it, we get the feeling with like Larsson, Hooper, Dembele, if they're in the team, we've got a chance of scoring in any game. I get that with Kyogo as well.
It's like that, Stephen, when we used to talk about Dembele, when you used to talk about Edouard, even you mentioned him last night, even when you go back to that, there's the feeling that Furuhashi's going to score anyway. We were doing our score predictions for the Dundee game, and I thought, okay, I think 2-0, because I think a bad on McGregor score. Just picked two players at random, but then I had to say to myself, well, Nakur,
because the inevitable
Furuhashi goal, you've got that feeling every time he's on the park.
Well, what I would say about Edouard is that I've always maintained that as soon as a player leaves, you very quickly get used to them not being there. It doesn't really matter who it is. The next team is announced and you're basically just looking forward. The next team comes out and you don't forget all about them because you acknowledge the contribution you made, but you quickly get used to them not being there. What helps that massively is replacing them with a real, genuine quality player.
Look at our left-back situation after KT left.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. So what we could have been left with is, there's a parallel universe out there somewhere where we're playing Ayeti for all these games instead of Furuhashi. If we hadn't signed him, what would have happened? We would have got Ayeti, would have been playing most of these games. Giakoumakis taking his time to get fit. Basically, no really get many other options. We might have signed Kevin Nisbet, something like that. Mm. So there's parallel universes out there where we don't get Furuhashi and we're still here sitting talking about how we've never replaced Dembele or Edouard or anything like that. So it's a very different conversation. But thankfully, we got Kyogo to the club because he's been an absolute revelation to the point where I'm just like, I think I said to you after the Ferencvaros game, what's the catch here?
Yeah.
There must be something we've not discovered here. Is there a clause in his contract where he can leave for 500 quid? It's not even a transfer window. He can leave in December. Or somewhere to go to Crystal Palace. There's got to be some catch in there somewhere.
He is a top level. Furuhashi reminds me of, do you know when we played, it doesn't matter, pick any mid-level European team, and we've spoken about this in the podcast before, they always seem to have that top level striker. Like, who was that guy that he's the Japanese boy, Melee, that signed for Liverpool?
Minamino.
Who did he play for before? Because we came up against him, didn't we?
Was it
Salzburg? Mm-hmm. Well, that's a bad example because Salzburg are an absolutely tremendous team, right? But what I mean is, in Furuhashi, we've got one of the players we've always coveted. One of these, you're like, where do they find him? How do they always manage to pick these players up? Well, for a change, we've managed to pick one up.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say it's a triumph for the scouting department, but it's not, is it? It's just entirely Ancelotti-Coglu. Yeah, I mean, again, talk about parallel universes. We could be sitting here with Eddie Howe in the team. I mean, we've probably signed Lewis Graben instead some middle-of-the-road English striker or something like that, and we've not got to this. So praise the Lord for Ancelotti-Coglu.
The thing about Furuhashi is he's so dynamic up front. Left foot, right foot, header just over the course of last week. He's getting in front of players. He's beating players to the front post. When he beats them, he's winding them up. Yep. He's got a wee bit of everything.
He does have a bit of everything, and he's just the absolute focal point of this team. And he's everything that this team needs to play the way they play. And these games, we sort of see the way Ange wants to play more because the teams come out and we can press them and he triggers that every single time. He gets everybody else working. But like in the first goal when we've seen it, when he gets the ball in these positions, the quality and composure he shows, like, even into the second half when Turnbull puts him through and he dinks that over the keeper, albeit a tremendous clearance from the defender off the line, but it's just the way he finishes these ones, like the left foot, right foot. We've even seen the header against Dundee. He does have a bit of everything. He's just a great player, and it's a joy to go and watch him. Over the years at Celtic, we've always had players like that, but I felt over the last couple of years it's sort of faded away a wee bit, and just right now, every game you go to that Furuhashi's playing, you just know you're going to get quality.
Can I just say how much I'm enjoying how snidey he is as well?
Yes.
Now, the Celtic fans, because he's been he's a big personality, even though he doesn't speak English. No one really knows that much about him, but he kind of exudes this sort of charisma that everyone has got on board with very quickly. He seems like a quite enjoyable personality. So there's been a little bit of maybe infantasizing him a little bit. Everybody's saying, he's adorable, look at his wee bowl cut and all that. But I'm able to look under the surface, and bubbling away under there is under there beats the heart of a snidey, a bit of a bastard.
He does,
I think he gets away with it because he is quite unassuming. He's this wee 5'7", quite skinny guy. But
have you noticed the PR that started around him from opposition? Opposition, John. Anyone that doesn't support Celtic is, I hope Kyogo's... I mean, that's some guy on Twitter. I don't know who he was. Some absolute no-mark journalist on Twitter was like, I hope Furuhashi's okay after he's my mother. They're trying to tag him with this sort of...
Super Salary was at it as well. Super Salary McMoist.
Do you know what the best thing about that was? Like, Ali McCoist on TalkSport talking about Furuhashi. Now, Ali McCoist is funny, right? Old Uncle Ali's fine, right? He's got some new teeth. he's speaking like a wee bit, talking about Furuhashi. But Rangers fans were talking about here. They're terrified of this guy. They're trying to tar him. They see the way that Morelos has been tarred, because rightly so, Morelos is at it all the time. And they think, okay, that's Celtic's Morelos. Rangers are terrified of Furuhashi.
And so they should be. It doesn't matter about all that sort of thing. Just the quality on the pitch of the guy should terrify every team, because every big team he's come up against, probably bar Rangers this season where he was played out in the left, he runs riot against them. And Celtic have played, I think it's 6 games without him this season. They've only won one, whereas the 7 games or whatever they've played with him, they get the victories every time. And if he's playing up front, I think in all the games he's played that he started, we've only lost one, and that was away to Rangers where he did play out in the left. So when he's through the middle, he's basically guaranteeing you a goal and a win.
Ridiculous. Let's talk a wee bit more about the turn attention rather to the Ferencváros game. It was that pressing for the front that got us the first goal. Abada right onto the mistake for the fullback, nicked it off him, pressed forward a wee bit, played in Furuhashi. Furuhashi made the absolute best of it. Keeper comes out when a player moves it on his from one foot to the other and just slots it in. Yeah. Keeper had no idea what foot he was going to use to stick it in the back of the net.
None at all.
The keeper in knots.
None of us did. But that's actually something I've just thought of there. It's a kind of observation I've made live, is that, I think whereas he scores quite a variety of goals, Furuhashi, all of them are very calm. They're all placed. I've never seen Furuhashi rattle in a goal or anything like that. I've never seen him absolutely bust the net. They're all just very calm, placed efforts. Nothing really to add to that, but I've just thought of that there and then, because I don't mean this comparison to be sort of disparaging towards Ayeti, but that's when he came in, the remark we made is that he puts some sauce on his shots. He makes sure he leathers it home. But Furuhashi's the mirror opposite. He just places it wherever he wants. And the deft wee chip that you mentioned as well, just absolutely great technique. But a very satisfying goal, that, because it is just a sign that people know what they're doing with this press. And all. It's not just aimless running about, because anyone could do that. That doesn't involve coaching. That's just, right, everybody run about and just like close them down. I get the ball back, I defend from the front and all that. But that looked really measured and precise, and we had the ball in the back of the net seconds after recovering it, after winning it there.
Yeah, because we know we can create the chances, but it's in these games where teams have sat in, we don't really get to see how Celtic really play. But in the European games, we can score goals, and it's the winning those counter-attacking goals where we win the ball back and then it's in the back of the net. We spoke about it before, it happens to us every time, and getting that early goal usually settles teams. It doesn't Celtic. That's the 11th away game in a row in Europe we have went in front.
That's astonishing.
Yeah. We've only won 4 of those games. It's an incredible record, but we're starting to turn that now. And getting that early goal, it really sets Celtic apart, because even though we go on to concede, Celtic controlled that game throughout. They were really good. And if we know we can create chances and rip teams apart, but if we can take the ball off them and score as well, we're getting a bit of everything in there, and it's great to see.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned him, Stephen Adjeti. Nowhere to be seen in the last couple of weeks. Barkas as well. It looks over for Adjeti, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think he's got to go, basically. He's not getting any time whatsoever. He's barely played, really, over the course of his Celtic career. Former captain, Albion Ayeti, captain. It was one of those really early pre-season friendlies that aren't even worth watching. They just show them on Celtic TV just to get the added value. But he captained the side. It was a proud day for the Ayeti household that day.
So you've got Ayeti, 5.5 million, didn't they make the squad? You've got
Barkey.
Barkey, 5 odd million, and you've got Bowling Goalie, 4 odd million. I mean, that's the best part of 15 million quid.
I think you're a wee bit generous there, but it's roughly about that. And these guys, like, to have that, look, we've got Julian to come back as well, but that amount of money on players that you should be buying for European games and not one of them make the squad is just shows how poor we've been in the transfer market recently.
You said that we got the early goal, sort of set us up well, but we did concede. We do have the tendency to concede. I see that one went down as a Juranovic own goal.
Yeah, it's a tough one because it wasn't as if Celtic were looking like they were going to concede. And we all know as soon as we do concede, we can let in 2-3. But it just didn't feel like that in that game. The goal sort of came out of nothing. It just went out to the right-hand side. Juranovic is doing his best to try and block it, and it just goes on over him.
Now, well, if he's so good, why'd they score an OG for that? That goes, pretty ridiculous, if you ask me.
Is he our best left-back and best right-back?
Yes, just play him in both positions, actually. Just play him in both at the same time, to be honest. I think he's an absolutely tremendous player. And some of his recovery speed, getting back there, a deceptively really fast player, is another great sign as well. Part of me wants to see him at right back, but also the other part of me doesn't really care because he's playing extremely well at left back and you can't take Ralston out of the team. So I'm not really bothered where he plays as long as he's in the team.
Have we ever had a player that was our best in two positions before?
Well, I suppose Larson could be the best in every position, probably.
I suppose so, aye.
But just on the goal as well, it's one of those ones where in the past, maybe that was it. The heads would go down with Celtic. Mm. We'd maybe go, oh, no. But we didn't. We just kept playing our way. And it was a quite quick after we got the lead, but it was we didn't deserve to be equalised against. We deserved to still be in front. And we just kept playing our game. We didn't let it get in our way, and we just played and played and played, and thankfully got the second goal. But after that, I just never got the feeling we're not going to win this game.
But that's buy-in, isn't it? That's buy-in for the players. They're trusting the system. It's not like, you know, as we saw last season, we need to get a wee tip jar or something. We need to put a quid in the jar every time we say last season. But we saw, like, we'd concede a goal, the whole situation, the whole system would just go to pot. Because players, there was nothing to trust in, there was nothing to buy into.
In fairness, I think we're allowed to talk about last season as long as it's in contrast to what we're seeing just now.
Yeah,
that tees it up quite nicely when we're talking about this season. It's a nice wee kind of contrast to give. But the players have been very vocal about it recently as well. I know that by and large press conferences can be very vanilla and they just sort of trot through a few sound bites and all that. But what is starting to catch my notice a wee bit is that players have started mentioning just how much they are enjoying playing to this system and how clear the manager is. Especially you asked Callum McGregor about the difference between this team and, quote, last season very recently. And he very specifically mentioned how clear the manager is on his instructions and how he wants the team to play.
When we look at it as well, how many times did we speak about it? One or two passes and Celtic are wide open. We're not wide open anymore. That goal, probably against the run of play, even though it was quite early on, but it wasn't as if Celtic were carved open. It was just a ball out to the right and the guy tried to cross it and it hit off our defender and went in. It can't really be helped. There was nothing you could specifically say, oh, we made a mistake there. It's just one of these goals that sometimes can happen and seem to happen to Celtic more often than not. But after that, yes, we conceded our goal. But the only real chance I can remember was that Topmac one where he smashed it off the bar. And there's not really anything you can do about that. It's not as if Celtic were backs to the walls, hanging on, last-ditch tackles. As we say, it was a controlled performance.
Even at that, Ralston hit the bar as well, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Very shortly afterwards, so it was quite even in that. But what a dig that was. I saw the highlights again just before we started recording. That was a hell of a dig for Topmac, in fairness.
It's something that Andrew's mentioned the past couple of games, and you could see it in the Ferencvaros game. You saw it in the Dundee game, but I think we saw it in the Ferencvaros game a wee bit more. He's talking about how the defence are given the foundations for the attackers to excel. And this playing out for the back, wonderful. See some of this, we're almost under no pressure. I mean, we put ourselves under pressure occasionally. It looks like we're still kind of learning it. But see when it works, Melly, it's fucking brilliant.
Yeah, isn't it? I firmly believe it's the way to go. As I said on the reaction with Stephen, I think I count, what did I say, about 8, 9, 10 times that Joe Hart punted it long. Celtic didn't keep possession once. We simply can't do that. If we do, it'll just be through luck rather than through...
You buy yourself a matter of seconds, that's it. Yeah. The pressure is alleviated for seconds and it comes straight back at you. There's no sense in doing it at all.
And we are far more likely to create a chance by working it out from the back, I would say, than punting up the pitch and hoping for seconds, because look at the players we've got up there, Jota, Abada and Kyogo. They're not going to win balls in there. So when Celtic are playing out, now that we know we can do it, now that the players are confident, and I think confidence is the main thing in this, they're all good enough to do it, but it's just having that confidence in themselves and their teammates to do it. And when we play out, it's beautiful to watch because there is a plan.
Yeah.
Players know what they're doing. And more often than not, it does work out. There is the odd one where you're going to get...
It was a finished Varos game, wasn't it? There was a bit of criticism about the ball getting given away, but as we pointed out, that wasn't the system. That was a bad pass.
It was a bad pass.
But people were jumping on top of it going, that's what happens when you play it for the back. No, no, no. That's what happens when you play a bad pass. You can play that bad pass anywhere in the pitch and lose the ball.
Exactly. Abada was faced with Turnbull. Could have played it to his feet, but it was maybe a little bit dangerous, but that becomes Turnbull's responsibility and someone else has to make a move to give Turnbull a pass. That's how that should work. But unfortunately, Abada just... shelled it over his head and all of a sudden Turnbull is turning the other way, chasing the ball, and he'd just get it taken off him. It's just a bad pass. It's nothing to do with failing systems or anything like that.
Yeah, and just when you see the replay of the goal, Abada's on the right-hand side, Turnbull's inside him, and Kyogo's right over the halfway line in the middle. So Hank Hartson said, just shell it up the line. There was literally nobody there. You're just giving them the ball back. It was just, as you say, a bad pass. And I think I said it as well, even if the ball goes out to the right-hand side and the cross doesn't hit Juranovic, Joe Hart probably grabs it and it's never spoken about again. Yeah, but the fact that it's just a bad as pass inside, it's just unlucky for him.
I think Hartson's been told about his Celtic cheerleading on BT, by the way. Because he corrected himself. He's still very excited, he's still very pro-Celtic, but he stopped saying us and we and all that. He corrected himself. He said all of Celtic's midfielders can play with the ball. So he's obviously been got to, I think, by the pro-Hun media.
Yeah, probably. If you want to keep your job here, son, we don't talk like that. Look, everyone loves Kyogo Furuhashi, probably Celtic's best player, although I think there is a debate about whether it's between him or Jota, because, oh my God, another class signing that we've brought in the summer.
Unbelievable. And there isn't a debate left now. There isn't a debate. All of the headlines or all the chat after these games is just get him signed now, right? There's no debate anymore. If there's anyone left still thinking we shouldn't sign Jota, it's too much money, I assume that is the type of person who sellotapes newspapers to his windows and is writing don't sign Jota in excrement on his own wall. Those can be the only people left still not on the Jota train. But I was having a think about Jota, and there was even a little bit of kind of inexplicable debate as to whether he suits Ange's system, whether he suits Ange Ball and all that, which I found incredulous, to be honest. But what Jota is to me is, whether he suits systems or not, he's an absolutely special player. And I can't really think of many examples of a player who ticks so many boxes as to what the Celtic fans all believe we want and deserve as a Celtic player. I don't think we've signed a player like that since Di Canio. I'm not doing the direct comparison. I'm not saying...
Don't talk yourself. That's a great talking point. Don't caveat it in any way. Keep going.
But what I'm saying is, I'm not making the direct comparison. I'm not saying he's as good as Di Canio or he's going to do as much, whatever. What I'm saying is that, to me, was the last player that I can remember of that nature where every time he gets the ball, you think something's going to happen.
The flicks and tricks.
The tricks, the ability to just put a defence on the back foot, run at them. The trick he did against Dundee that led directly to a goal. Unbelievable. Don't get me wrong, we've had geniuses since Di Canio. It's a long time ago. We've had Moravcik, we've had, Henrik Larsson is a completely different player, but I don't think anyone has ever suited so well that traditional Celtic winger that we all think that you look back through history and that Celtic's littered with him. I think Jota is the latest incarnation of all that.
Can I just point out something to everyone sitting around this table and the listeners? You know how things are going well at Celtic now? We're all sitting here talking about Dembele and comparisons with Di Canio and Larsson and all that. Yeah. It's been a long time since we've been talking like this about the team, is it not?
It is a very long time, and I tend to agree with Stephen there. Like, Di Canio growing up was unbelievable to me. Just when there was a game recently, it was on this day, and Di Canio played in it. I think it was, we beat Aberdeen 1-0, and it was like 2 minutes highlights. It showed you the goal. Di Canio scores the goal, but the highlights were all just him, flicks, tricks, out in the byline, he's healing over somebody's head. And with Jota, with that, we've had guys like Patrick Roberts, who I thought was good at dribbling and had that eye for the pass and a goal, but nobody that takes somebody on but has these wee flicks and tricks, and they're not just flicks and tricks for the sake of it. There's always an end product to them. And again with Jota as well, he's tremendous to watch, and it's another one where as soon as he gets the ball, you sort of rise up out your seat as if we could do something here. And the way Ange plays, where he gets those wingers high and wide, it suits him, it suits Kyogo so well, and it's suiting Celtic right
and
now.
And it's the relentlessness of it, isn't it? It's the relentlessness of our play. Not often do you see Celtic trying to waste time. Even 80 minutes in, we're still getting Jota on the ball if he's on the pitch, obviously. He's still taking players on, he's still causing them pain and hurt. We've got a hurt on them, Stephen.
Yes, and Jota, he's everything really I would expect in a winger, because we've had loads of good wingers. I mean, that's why the tradition exists. We've had loads of good wingers over the years. Sinclair and El Yunusi are really good players as well, but they're not what I'm trying to articulate. Yeah, the old-fashioned winger who also gets goals as well. He's scoring goals and he's making goals. There was one point against Ferencvaros where he went on a really fast break. He'd carried the ball tens and tens of yards up the pitch and he gave it to Abada and it broke down. Unfortunately, but he has the capability of doing that. It terrifies defenders. And if that had been the other way around, if Abada, who is capable of carrying the ball as well, if he had carried the ball at the pitch and given it to Jota, it would have been a goal. That's how much confidence I have in him. I feel like he's going to score all the time, Jota. He has the odd occasional wild attempt on goal, but that's because his confidence is up and he's trying things.
He's allowed it, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. It. But yeah, he's been an absolutely tremendous signing. Hopefully we can get the deal done to get him permanent. But if not, just enjoy it. Just savour having the guy in the team.
Ange spoke on it midweek. He says, you know, we'd love to have him if he thinks this is where his home is. And he's obviously enjoying his football. I would be pushing to get that deal done in January. If the funds are available and all that sort of stuff, we could offload, you know, if we're looking to move out, Albion, if we're looking to move on Barkas and Bolingoli and a few other...
60 million we've made there, so right.
Get some money for them. And, you know, if you'd like to think if you could move some of these guys off, it makes space for a player like Jota, because much like Brendan Rodgers and his reference to Edouard, when we had Edouard on loan and paid the 9 million for him, absolute no-brainer. You know what you're getting. I mean, it's guaranteed goals, guaranteed, more important than that though, guaranteed entertainment.
Yeah, and that's what we want to see, and we are being entertained, and these guys are all sort of playing with a smile on their face as well, and it brings a smile to our face. And with Jota, yes, go and sign him, because we've seen over how difficult it is for Celtic to identify players for a start.
For sure.
Get them in and then make them permanent, but we have to do this deal. I was one, let's wait and see how it goes on, but after every week now, it's like, no, this guy is the real deal. There's no way he can go from how he's playing now to a complete dud.
Reggie Blinker.
Oh, another great winger. He's just got a bit of everything, and he's still young, he's still developing, he could get better, and it's going to be great to see.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
On the other wing, you mentioned him, Abada, who is, he's another cliched catch, he's a bit of an enigma, Abada, isn't he? He seems to be weighing in quite heavily with goals.
He's got more than Jota.
He's got more than Jota. Scored again that day, but then at the same time you're watching his wing play and you're thinking, kind of lacking a wee bit.
Something that's rubbish.
You said, Stephen, that his goal was actually, it was a cross.
It was a cross.
Do you think so?
No, I'm so okay. It was a great finish. It was a really nice finish and he deserved it. Yeah. But I know what you mean. I totally agree that he's a strange player and that he's quite frustrating. I've seen a couple of neutrals who don't really care about Celtic or anything, just saying it's really quite odd to watch because his touch doesn't seem that great, his dribbling doesn't seem that great, but seven goals, simply cannot argue with that.
In his benefit, Melly, he's a young boy. He is a young player. He's obviously going to improve. He's going to improve with confidence. He's going to improve with game time. He's going to improve
coaching.
With
the coaching we're getting just now.
And the players that he's playing with and all that. But at the moment, you're watching him, you're going, like, it was this game, I think it might be in the Dundee game as well, I was in the Discord, I'm like, this guy's doing my nothing, then bang, it was this game, for almost the full game, because it seemed every time he went down the wing, nothing was coming of it, the play would break down, or he would hit the first man, or his cross was terrible, and then I'm giving him pelters, and then 2 minutes later, he sticks one in the back of the net.
Yeah, it was some finish. And
probably what spurred him on.
We know he can finish, we've seen that right from his first game, that Michelin game we spoke about earlier, he gets in the rebound, but I wonder maybe if long term he'll maybe see himself as a striker because, as you said, he doesn't have that trickery. We haven't seen that ton of pace from him yet where he's taking on players and beating them. Maybe that'll come, but right now he's just getting the goals. And look, it's okay there now because we've got Jota and Furuhashi on absolute form, flying, scoring goals and assisting. But if one of them's having an off game or out the team, we need more from the other wide player, whether it's Abada, Forrest or Johnson. But right now there's nobody nailing that place yet, injuries and all that sort of thing. But there's a spot out there and Abada could nail it, but he's not quite doing enough to do it because it was frustrating in the Fenerbahce game. Jota and Furuhashi, you're confident when they get the ball. What did I say?
Fenerbahce.
Surprised it took me that long before I said it. Ferencváros, but when it did break down with Abada, it seemed to always be him it would break down on. With the other two, you're expecting the quality. Him, it's not quite there yet.
To an extent, I think more is expected of new signings, foreign signings who come for a wee bit of money. But again, it's what was 4 million or something like he signed for. Realistically, it doesn't get you an awful lot in this market. The 4 million is the new 2 million that we used to spend on players. I think if he was a young Scottish player and had come in and was playing like this, he'd scored 7 goals to this point of the season, would be absolutely raving about him. I'm not saying...
Is it the doo-doo factor?
There probably is a little bit of that. But I'm not saying that forms all of the judgment. I'm just saying to an extent there's probably a little bit of a different expectation placed on a new signing and an Israeli international than a 19/20-year-old who would just come in and develop into the team himself. So I still have faith that I'm not making any final judgment on him because I'm so confident now in Ange Postecoglou's ability to coach players and find the best out of them that I think the best is still to come from Abada. It's just that I don't think there's anything wrong with saying he wasn't in great form until fairly recently. So I don't think it's, you know, slamming him, lambasting Abada. I nearly called him Lambada.
Look, that's what we're here for. We're here to talk about these performances.
Well, the Celtic's third goal with Abada was an absolute cracker, but after that, we didn't really look like it was going to be one of those long nights. But then 5 minutes from time, it was just Mikey Johnson trying to dribble out, loses the ball, and the ball goes out to the right. I'm looking at Ralston maybe closing down the guy more to stop the shot, but at the same time, he had somebody on his outside, so if he shuts him down, he just plays it out to the left. But when you see the goal again, the finish is an absolute cracker, man. That angle from behind where you see it going in, there's not a lot you can do, but maybe just press a wee bit quicker.
No, I agree with that. I saw the exact angle you're talking about, and it does. It goes outside the post and then just nestles. You think it's going to go in quite high and it just drops into the bottom corner.
Because one of their players sort of moves out of the way as well.
And Joe Hart obviously can't get near. He goes half his bun after it as well, as Joe Hart tends to do, which is great. Speaking of players being vocal about things, Joe Hart is obviously, you know, very vocal and we expected that of him as well, but it was nice to hear Jota talk about that, about how influential he's been in the dressing room and how if he's got a problem with something, he'll absolutely let you know, Joe Hart. And that's, again, we've spoken about Joe Hart a lot because we all really kind of wished him well. We really wanted him to do well, and I think he's exceeded our expectations. He makes mistakes as well, but I mean, Which, what player doesn't he?
Stick it back.
I know, geez, okay. Compare him, the other duds we've had in. And I mean,
exactly.
The thing about people forget about Joe Hart as well is, well, I forgot about Joe Hart anyway, I'm not sure if everybody did. £1 million, and they took a massive pay cut to come here. But I mean, rumours that he's on something like 16 grand a week or something. They just wanted to make it work, so he did whatever he could do to come and play football.
Well, he literally said that, didn't he? He said, well, I think someone asked him, why did you go to Celtic? He's like, because they wanted me.
Yeah.
I mean, they're as simple as that. They gave me somewhere to play my football, and that's why I signed for them.
It's maybe a conversation for another podcast, but you know, when after the transfer window closed, we sat here on this flagship. We said, we need to give it a few months. We're not going to fall into the trap of last season and thinking we had a smashing window and then some of these players don't perform the way you want them to.
We could have sat there 6 weeks ago talking about how everybody's the new DiCanio and the new Larson and all that. So.
But having a wee glance back at that transfer window, looks like we've done some decent business.
Yeah, a smashing window doesn't quite work out, does it? But it looks good that there's, look, we signed 12 players, they're never all going to be good, are they? That Celtic, it's not going to work out, but it seems more hits than misses for a change, and the ones that are hits, they really have made a massive difference to Celtic this season, and boy oh boy, we look good.
I think it's been remarkable actually, because when you think about the business was done, not only did a lot of players come in, they've formed the guts of the first team. The first 11 is mainly new signings, with the exception of like Callum McGregor and a few assorted others.
Carter has played every minute since he signed, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. So, I mean, not only have these players worked out, but they've become key elements of the team, not just absolute mainstays. Obviously, we've got players who have been there a long time, but Ralston doesn't count as an established player. No. He's effectively a new signing, as the old cliche goes. This signing,
he signed a new contract.
Yeah,
and I honestly, I'm struggling to think of a more deserved contract for any Celtic player. All joking aside, let's have a sort of, because Ralston was a player of limited ability, and everyone sort of knew it, and everyone said it. And I know you've kind of backed him, Ellie, but that wasn't based on any ability you saw in the park. That was a meme.
All in the heart.
You know, that was basically a meme that we were doing on this podcast. But the reality of the Ralston situation is, he has worked his bollocks off, Anthony Ralston, ever since he came into the side, and he absolutely deserves this contract.
He said, doubters, shove up your bollocks. I'm Anthony Ralston, I'm here to stay.
I've never seen a player improve so much, but Ange did say that it's up to Anthony to keep improving. So there's obviously still some work to do there. But he's charging up and down that wing, takes absolutely no pish off a duds like Charlie Adam. He takes none of it. And he's improving. I think his delivery from when he first got into the team, I think his crossing has gotten better.
This season?
Yeah, I'd
agree with that. I think he's been exceptional, Anthony Ralston. Let's strip all the stuff away about how he's okay for Anthony Ralston. He's performing well for Anthony Ralston. He's still limited, but he's been okay. He's been brilliant recently. Yeah. Like, there's no getting away from the fact that he's been in a standout performer in recent games. He's been involved in goals, he's been creating goals, he's been scoring goals, and he's been defending well. And you're right, I struggle to think of a turnaround quite like it ever at Celtic. To have gone from, I mean, this isn't even a season, we're talking about 3 months here. We're talking about the season started 3 months ago. We all sat here and were like, I can't believe they've given that guy even a year. Yeah. It represents a sign of panic at Celtic.
And it wasn't even out of nowhere. He was a limited player. He was a player of limited ability.
Yeah, from everything we've seen. So to have gone from that just 3 short months ago to a mainstay of a team, to the fact that he's keeping the Croatian international, far more storied player, effectively out of that position into another position. He's still playing Juranovic, of course. But the fact that he's playing this well, I can't think of a comeback. Don't call it a comeback. I'm sure he would say he's been there the whole time, but it's been incredible for him, and it's 100% deserved. And 100% deserved not only the new contract, but his place in the team at the moment, because it's been exceptional.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. It's such a struggle because Celtic fans, myself included, once you sort of make up your mind up on a player, it's very difficult to change that. Whether it's a new signing, maybe sometimes you change that because they get played in better positions or whatever.
Yeah.
But for Ralston to be here for so long and then to flip everybody in such a short space of time is incredible. And I can't think of MD who's done it. Stelian Petrov maybe, but he was getting played out of position, and that was what, 20 odd years ago. But with Ralston, he's managed to change everybody's mind, and you can say, look, give him that contract, he completely deserves it. But it's improvement in every single aspect of his game. He always had that physicality, but to go out there and not quite 3 assists at the weekend, but he's creating goals, he's scoring goals, his defensive play is really, really good, and he looks like He's probably been Celtic's most consistent player this season. He's played the most games probably, and every week you're looking at him going, yeah, it went from Ralston, he's playing well, he'll do until Juranovic is fit, up to right now it's like, you can't drop Ralston, and Juranovic is doing a great job on the other side, so just keep playing the two of them, it's working out well. And him, Joe Hart, Carter Vickers, Juranovic, Starfelt, that's looking like a solid back line, a solid base for Celtic to build on. But him going forward as well, and Charlie Adam Hing was so tremendous.
Funny. Do you know what that is? That is 19 stone of pure fat bouncing off of. I'm not good at guessing weight, Stephen. What weight do you think Ralston is?
A solid
12 stone.
12 and a bit, because he was going to be lean in it, so he's compact.
So that's 19 stone of 40% muscle, 40% fat, body fat, right?
That's more than that, actually.
You have probably slamming off of 12 stone of 6% body fat. Like, the best of it was, right, we're talking about the Charlie Adam incident here just before the Celtic goal. He went to clean Ralston out, right? Bounced off him like a bouncy ball. Boing, ended up in a flabby pile on the ground, right?
A puddle.
Yeah, dragged himself back up and then tried to cut out the cross, but could barely get his leg up high enough. It was embarrassing.
It looked as if he'd run into a lamppost. It was
Looney Tunes shit, man.
It was a bad bouncy for Adam. And even taken away from that, that was brilliant from Ralston. It's brilliant. It's a good gift for Mimo when you look at it. Mm. But some of them cut out the cross. The cross is an absolute peach as well. Yeah. It's put right into an area, and Jota's just got to get his foot on it. And from that second half when Celtic came out, and even right throughout that game, down that right-hand side and the left-hand side, Celtic ripped them apart down each side, and Ralston had a hand in three of the goals. It was another great performance from him. He could have had a goal during the week, and he got his contract. The boy must be high on life now.
Let's talk about the Dundee game, Stephen. We wondered how Dundee were going to approach the game against Celtic. We wondered, you know, are we going again for another Livingston here? Because that was an important game, given the distance until the next league game, the international break and all that coming up, travelling away to Ferencvaros and obviously dropping points against Livingston in our last game. We needed to make sure we were home and hosed.
But then playing Ross County, of course.
Then playing Ross County, just a walkover. Yeah. Begin to see why John Hughes decided not to take that job on any longer. The game started off with a bit of a protest. Tennis balls were thrown at the pitch. Unclear at the beginning why, but then it later transpired that this was a protest about Bernard Higgins. There was also the usual minute silence for the poppy, which is a weird obsession in this country now. It's almost North Korea-like. The usual suspects criticising the Celtic fans for singing and not respecting the poppy, the silence for the minute silence for the poppy. Then there was people criticising the Celtic fans for protesting against Bernard Higgins. I see no issue with either of those things, none at all.
I'm just disappointed. When you were talking about it, I just clicked. I could have brought my James McLean Republic Ireland strip. We could have had that there to show solidarity, but it's ridiculous, the Bernard Higgins thing.
The guy can't get appointed to Celtic. No. It's mental. It's mental.
It's ridiculous it's even in the conversation, but it wasn't clear on the TV. I was at the game, but when you're watching it, they had it out. They know the ball's in Celtic's board's court now. Yeah. So it was clear at the game, but when they didn't really say it in Sky from what I've heard. But Celtic fans are right to protest about that. It's a ridiculous appointment from a guy that did no good for Celtic, and for Celtic to be doing everything so well on the pitch finally, and then these sort of things shooting themselves in the foot again, it's ridiculous.
I don't think they can go ahead with it now.
They can't.
They just can't go ahead with it.
No, I don't think so. I don't know how much there is in it anyway. I don't know if it was just sort of tentative inquiries at first, or it's been kind of something happening behind the scenes, but they can't possibly. I honestly don't know. It couldn't possibly be any worse, to be honest. But see, just on the protest itself, obviously this creates an awful lot of discord on Twitter. Like, people don't like this kind of thing. They don't like to, like it or not, I think there's a lot of focus on what that group do, you know, whether it's Green Brigade, North Club, whatever name you want to put on it. There's a lot of people who say they try and make it all about them and all that, which I don't personally believe. Mm. But look, people have the right to protest. The minute you start chipping away at that is a very dangerous road to go down. I would say I would support anyone's right to protest against something they strongly believe in. You might think they could have done something else, but I don't think there's anything they could have done that wouldn't have resulted in people saying you should have done something else.
Aye, exactly.
People say it's embarrassing. Yeah, maybe, but that's also kind of the point of a protest. It's got to embarrass someone. It's got to embarrass someone. It's got to gain attention. They got the game postponed like a minute and a half or whatever. what's more noticeable than that.
Focus is on
people will take a picture of a banner, but nobody really cares. Yeah. Now, there's banners all the time. That just won't gain the same level of attention as something like that would. It's not the first thing of that nature either. They had something similar in Germany a couple of seasons ago. Borussia Dortmund fans chucked a load of tennis balls on the pitch to protest against, I think it was like late kickoffs, nighttime games
Blackpool
or something.
Done it as well, I remember.
Yeah, so I'm not going to get too into the weeds of it, but it's like, everyone has the right to protest something they strongly feel about, and I fully support that.
It's a bit weird to me, you know, whether it's this or it's a poppy, for people to say, oh, you shouldn't do that. Like, what sort of country do you want to live in? Do you know what I mean? And when people say, specifically with the poppy, this country's mawkish obsession with poppyism, which, by the way, is new. See, we were growing up, even us, who relatively young guys, there wasn't this mad obsession.
No.
Poppy polis, you should do this, you should do that. Rangers having these mad
cannons
at the game.
The mascots, remember the big foamy, poppy that walked on with the big black boots and the big black.
And you know, you don't need a PhD in Irish history to understand why some Celtic fans, many Celtic fans, most Celtic fans, most right, normal thinking people would have an issue with this. And see, the people that complain about Celtic fans complain about the poppy, they're always the first people to say keep politics out of football. But what they actually mean is keep your politics out of football, because they want ours in it. Son of, you can, no, I'm not going to say it. You know what I was about to say.
Just, you'll like this one, Steve. I seen a tweet, I can't remember who retweeted it, sorry, but it was after we were talking about the Green Brigade. They might disband because they have been shamed. The Groin Brigade.
The Groin Brigade.
It was Ange Postecoglou when he was talking about after the game, when he was asked about the minute silence, and somebody said, oh, he's trying to suck up to the Groin Brigade the or something.
I've seen that. That's a new one to me. I've never seen the Groin Brigade. I've seen the Gangrene Brigade, which is actually quite hard to say. I mean, some even more juvenile than that, but I love those terrible, terrible Scottish football pun pattered nonsenses. That's a belter. I've already used one tonight, Super Salary McMoist. That's my personal favourite, the granddaddy of them all.
My personal favourite thing recently was Charlie Adam talking about, on a serious discussion about racism, transferred the whole situation over to himself, going, is it okay that I get abuse at football grounds? Yes, Charlie.
Yes, it is. It is. Nothing like it.
Dundee went with a game plan. They didn't play a striker, I don't think. So I think their plan was merely to sit in. But see, when Celtic score after, 6 minutes or so, 8 minutes, you can't really do that anymore. Game plan, in the bin.
Yeah, and that was always lacking from the Livingston game last week, wasn't it? Celtic didn't do that. But we've seen what you were speaking about, Jamie. Anthony Ralston took a shot. He took the shot on. It sort of hit off the post after a deflection and comes back to Jota. Sometimes, if you're in a decent position, it's better to take that, because these sort of things can happen. And that goal was coming, because as soon as the game kicked off, you're thinking, after a Thursday night game, beat on and Welsh went off injured, same team, no freshness in it, are Celtic going to struggle here away in Dundee? Stadium is an absolute schneid hole. So there's excuses there and reasons why Celtic could have altered there, but they didn't. Straight from the off, bang, right in on them, on top of them, get the early goal. Second half, exact same. Celtic, after they got that goal, were flying. They looked brilliant.
Well, that's it, Stephen. There's a balance to strike with these long shots. Livingston, we shot almost none, but if you hit a long shot, you know, the keeper could parry it. It could come off the post,
Not even that long a shot, is it? It's just outside the box. So, as you're saying, take it. You were complaining about McGregor and Turnbull. They had ones in similar positions that they didn't take, and we've seen what happened. Jota gets the rebound, and then from that on, Celtic are flying.
That's it. There's a number of things that could happen. Take a deflect. You know, it adds a different option. But this is a ridiculously obvious thing to say, but I am a fan of an early goal, because the game, because usually when you're watching Celtic, the game that precedes an early goal is always a bit of a cracker, because teams always tend to sit in against us. But the early goal means you can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
And then we're right on top of them.
Well, I said that last week, I think it was. I said, look, that's basically your best bet against these teams is try and summon a goal out of somewhere. And then that just causes everything. The game's on. All bets are off. The game plan's out the window. And any number of other cliches that I could possibly list there, but I think I've done enough. But you're right. Getting the early goal changes everything. The one thing I'd say about the Dundee game overall is that Celtic are... they're conceding goals at the moment, but they've conceded a few sloppy goals, a couple of, well, at least one goalkeeping error in this one. But I kind of summon it up in me to really overanalyze that. I'm not that bothered about it. No, exactly. Yeah. I'm really not that bothered about it. I don't know, the tendency is to kind of look into this and say, oh, we're conceding daft goals. But And I can feel viewers, listeners saying, "Oi, Stephen, hypocrite warning." you sat there last season and said that the way when Celtic were just managing to beat players last season, teams last season, we could see that that was going to fall off at some point. But I think it's totally different now because Celtic don't look as if we're struggling to beat teams at all. We really, really don't. We're conceding goals, yes, that makes the overall scoreline. If you didn't watch the game, if you just went on Wikipedia at the end of the season and saw that that game was quite close, 3-2 or 4-2 or whatever, that must have been quite close. Doesn't it tell the full story of the game at all?
But this is kind of what we were offered with Ange, wasn't it? This is what we've been told since day one with Ange. You score 4, they'll score 2, you score 5, they'll score 3. That's kind of the way Ange plays. And it's, you know, you do risk at the back, but I didn't feel it in any danger in this Dundee game. We were absolutely dancing in Dundee, Melly.
Oh, we were. As you say, there was no danger that Dundee's first goal was a simple ball in the box that Celtic should have defended better. Second goal, again, Joe Hart should do better. We're not getting ripped apart. We're not getting crosses flung on us where we look terrible at the back. Starfelt's went out for 2 games and we've lost 4 goals, maybe missing a bit of him in there. Welsh has come in and done all right. But as you said, as soon as Celtic got that first goal, it settles them down and allows us to play some great football. Again, watching that at the weekend, just on your feet, just going, whoa, this is really, really something. Jota, Kyogo, even like David Turnbull was spraying passes about. He was absolutely brilliant. Forgot to mention, David Turnbull was brilliant against Ferencváros. His work rate and his quality was tremendous. That's one of his best games I've seen him have for Celtic. So we've got players performing, and when one's not playing as well, somebody's coming in to perform, and Nir Beaton was decent again.
Well, the very fact that we've swapped Tom Rogic for Nir Beaton in this last couple of games and still playing some tremendous football speaks volumes as well. So I think
we're
in a good place.
I'm going to have to insist we get the pronunciations right, Stephen. Since I just came in, it's been Tommy.
Tommy?
Tommy Rogic. And it's been Dave Turnbull.
Dave?
He calls him Dave, aye.
Nero Beaton as well.
Nero, aye, absolutely. But the thing I liked about the Dundee game was we are the best team in this league. We might not be top of the table, but Rangers are...
Oh, the comments are coming.
We are, let me say it again, we're the best team in this bum league, okay? We're not top of the table, okay, we've had a couple of slip-ups, but the sheer quality that we are putting on, the displays of football excellence, there's no team that can touch us.
Not right now. We're looking great. We've had so many difficult away games that we've marked off. We're starting to get over the injuries and that. We're getting more bodies back and we've got 2 European games now. And this will be the last international break now till March now. So after this, it's straight home run until that game in January 2nd against Rangers, where it's going to be game after game. But I'm not fearing it. I'm looking forward to every single game with Celtic, and I think we can beat them. When we've been sort of doing it in stages here this season, where it's August to that and the transfer window, then from then to the September international break, from the October one there to this one, Celtic what played 7-1-6 and drew 1. If you were offering us that before, it would have taken that. But
I think it's more than that. I think it's played 8. Is it not played 8? 1-7?
It's only the one draw, and that was the Livingston is the only blemish on that. But if you're looking at that, well, maybe we'll get a draw against Ferencváros. But to go out there and get 6 points against them, and to be, we have cut it down from 6 points to 4. Mm. And right now, just looking forward to every game.
Crucially though, Stephen, we kind of get ahead of ourselves here, and we need to be honest that whilst we are probably the best team in the league, whilst we're playing some great stuff, while we're scoring a lot of goals, it's still in the 3 points we're picking up. Rangers, in their own way, with the help of the referees, are still picking up 3 points. Yeah. That margin of error remains. Like, we need to just end the podcast on a wee cautious note. Things are looking good.
Yep.
We're playing well, but that margin of error is very, very slim still, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, 100%. It's almost non-existent. We simply must keep on their coattails at all times. We have to apply. We've passed up a couple of opportunities to put real pressure on them recently, which is unfortunate. The Livingston game is behind us now, but still kind of looms large over the last few weeks of where we could have been. So that we can't really afford any more slip-ups. Need to be on their backs as much as possible. And that's why the knee game, despite the fact they almost never score against Celtic, although they've put that right now, they never pick up anything, it's still massive going into these games. I don't care if they're sitting bottom of the league or second bottom of the league, we just need to keep cranking up these wins.
I mean, Melly, we really can't afford to drop any more points until we get them to Parkhead in January, then we need to beat them. I mean, that's basically how it needs to go.
It's looking that way. January's a sort of a reset for Celtic. We need to get a couple of players in. Yeah. We still
and I think
need
we're working on that. The chatter seems to be bubbling on it.
I'm going
to
send half the J League at this rate, I think. As David Brent once said, if it was up to me, the place would be full of them.
Well, you know,
half enough. So it is that. I think we have got a lot of games come the end of November into December, and looking at it league-wise, possibly we could win everyone, but it's unlikely you're going to win everyone. But what we need to do is be within touching distance of Rangers when we get to that game and hopefully beat them.
December's massive. I think we've got 7 games in December. Something like
we've had 10 in the past.
It's always a lot. It's always a lot. December's massive. Obviously, we've secured one thing we failed to mention, secured European football.
Yeah.
Regardless of what happens, international break is coming up, but I think this seems like a good place to end, lads.
Yes.
Yeah.
And on that, we shall end. Thank you so much to everyone who watches. Thanks to everyone who listens. Thanks to everyone who argues in the comments. Thanks to all the Huns that leave the snidey wee comments. Keep helping that algorithm. Thank you very, very much. Check us out on Patreon if you like what we do here. Patreon.com/20minutetims. We do loads of extra stuff, all over the games and features and all sorts of stuff. Check it out. Melly, would you like to sign off?
Goodbye.
Steven.
Also, Greg Taylor signed a new contract. Oh, everyone, aye. Goodbye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.